Now for agribusiness news, markets, and weather from Studio C, this is Agriculture Today.
Hay production has really languished during this extended drought across the Great Plains and points westward.
USDA meteorologist Brad Rippey.
We are still seeing 50% of the U.S. hay production area in drought on March 1st. That's actually up a bit from what we saw at the end of the last growing season. 36% of the hay was in drought at that time. So that's still a big concern heading forward. We have drought-damaged pastures across the northern plains that haven't yet recovered, and drought affecting hay production in other areas unless we get relief in the next few months. Finally, cattle production areas in drought. 62% of the U.S. cattle inventory currently experiencing drought. That is up sharply from the end of last growing season, when just 29% of the cattle inventory was considered to be in drought.
Ag News Now. Agriculture Today.
There's a lot going on in the livestock space right now. I mean, from a carbon standpoint, though, I mean, I think there's a lot of credit due to the livestock industry for the innovation that we've been seeing there. So I think even when it comes to livestock, that there's a lot of opportunity to partner with livestock producers, even in terms of sequestering carbon.
Dr. Bart Fisher is co-director of the Agriculture Food Policy Center at Texas A&M.
Another big issue that we're dealing with, too, is on fed cattle pricing. Our center was asked about a year and a half ago to look into that issue, you know, in part following the Holcomb fire in August of 19, but then also following what we saw out of COVID, you know, these huge price spikes. And a lot of that was driven just by these huge shifts, where all of a sudden folks are needing to run to the grocery store and get something with restaurants closing down, all the chaos that we saw in terms just of labor in packing plants. And so that raised a lot of questions, right, about how fed cattle were priced. And we were asked to do a year-long study. We published a book on it last fall. There's another new proposal out. Senator Grassley from Iowa, Senator Fisher from Nebraska have partnered on a solution. We were asked by Senator Bozeman, the ranking member of the Senate Ag Committee, to weigh in on that, a report we just finished in our center here, out of Texas A&M. And so we've been called in to work on that issue a lot over the last year and a half. And I think the general theme there is that the crux of the issue is that, you know, you talk to folks, they'll say we need more price discovery in the cattle markets. And if we had that, we'd had more robust prices. And, you know, the concern we have raised is that we've gotten where we are in part because of we're looking to add value and capture quality in cattle and be able to price accordingly. And so if we move away from some of that approach and move just back to cash markets, that we put a lot of that innovation at risk, and that it may actually not trickle down to higher prices for cattle producers. And so we've been in the middle of that conversation, happy to help play a role, if nothing else, just educating members of Congress in Washington.
As we continue to watch volatility in the markets, but really high prices, we're in unfamiliar territory.
Personally, I grew up on a dryland cotton farm, and if you had told me once upon a time that I wouldn't have been ecstatic about dollar plus cotton going into a growing season, I would have told you you'd lost your mind. But yet here we are, right? We have these really good prices where we have a robust safety net where crop insurance is able, you know, to insure at those fairly high prices, but we have inputs trailing right along behind it. Our center, the Ag and Food Policy Center at A&M, was asked to do a study here recently by Congresswoman Letlow from Illinois. She serves on the Ag Committee, asked us to look in just into fertilizer. And so on that study alone, we found, I think it was on our feed grain farms, it was an average of about $128,000 that fertilizer cost alone that were going up. And that's just on one input, right? And so, yes, we have really robust prices. We have a lot of volatility right now, too. But we, you know, those high prices are being chased by higher inputs. And, you know, right alongside that, too, is the question of availability. So on one hand, you have input prices going up, but you also have a question of whether you can even get them, particularly as it relates to things like chemicals. And so it's just an incredibly interesting time where you've got a lot, you know, you've got a lot of opportunity, but there's also a tremendous amount of risk in terms of the cost that producers are going to lay out there. Which, you know, for all the work we do, you know, I'm on the phone with Washington almost every day, and it to me, it's a perfect example of why farm policy is so important, right? It's why we do what we do, because farmers take enormous risks every day. And if they're the ones who have, if they have to do that on their own, there are huge implications for all of the rest of us who eat. And so, to me, it's just highlighting the importance of why we do what we do. And I'm glad that I get to help play a small role from College Station, Texas.
It's Agriculture Today.
One of the directors of feedlot operations here at Freona Industries, it's important for us to be partner with people that understand the business and understand the challenges we face. And as we've grown from 4 to 6 to 8 yards, Capital Farm Credit has been there every step of the way. They understand the agriculture industry, understand the ebbs and flows, the trends, the economics, but more importantly, understand the cattle feeding sector and have been extremely good partners for us to work with. And hopefully that partnership gets to solidify even more.
Now is the time to sell. Demand for used equipment is high, and Purple Wave Auction can help you reach the largest community of online buyers. Whether you have a single item or an entire fleet, Purple Wave Auction offers a hassle-free way to sell your equipment. Visit purplewave.com. Straight, simple, sold.
With Agriculture Today, here's Tony St. James.
I think it's important for landowners especially to sort of understand what their role is.
Garrett Talgott is a corporate law attorney with the Illinois Farm Bureau talking about leases for solar and wind.
I sort of see solar development as kind of like a three-legged stool, particularly as it pertains to responsibilities and making sure that everything is done properly. There's obviously... One of the legs is the landowner and making sure that their lease provisions are good and are sufficient to protect them from possible downsides of solar development. If you look at the second one, there is there's the role of the county as it pertains to zoning. Obviously, some counties are going to have zoning. If you look at a map of Illinois, probably the bottom half to third of the state, very few of those counties actually have zoning. So in terms of the county's role there, it might be limited. And then the states. Many states are trying to pass some sort of laws to help kind of, I guess, set some guidelines for how solar development and wind development, too, ought to take place. I say solar a lot. In Illinois, that has been the biggest issue lately and the biggest sort of the biggest driver. Wind development in Illinois is actually fairly mature. In fact, in the last couple of years, we have had our first wind farm actually be decommissioned, where they decommissioned a whole bunch of the towers that were somewhere in the neighborhood of 15 years old. They decommissioned them and then put up many fewer, actually larger, more efficient towers. So wind in this state is actually quite mature. We do hear about more wind farms that are being proposed, but not nearly on the scale of a solar.
Talgott was featured recently at a Farm Foundation forum on green energy. He talks about possible easements in leases.
When it comes to lease provisions, first of all, we see, especially with solar, something that'll say in some sort of legalese, thou shalt not block the sun. And you might be thinking, well, of course, how could I even block the sun if I wanted to, at least on like a large scale basis, right? We've actually had some questions and some issues come up about normal farming practices. So if I've got a solar developer that wants to lease 50 acres of a 100-acre parcel that I own, presumably I'm still going to farm the other 50 acres. Well, If I'm farming the other 50 acres that's adjacent to the 50 that's covered with solar panels now, if that's sort of creating a whole bunch of dust, and many times I'll see lease agreements that say thou shalt not create dust, again, in some sort of legal jargon, thou shalt not create dust. Well, what happens then if I'm farming corn or soybeans on half of the 100 on this other 50 over here and the wind blows the dust on the panels? It automatically reduces their efficiency. Are there any issues to that? And I've asked solar developers that in the past, and I've received various answers, and some of them have just sort of been, oh, no, that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about more like, you know, if you were to, say, develop a gravel pit on your adjacent acreage, we don't want that. And I'd say, oh, okay, so clearly then you'll sort of amend your stock lease to sort of say, well, thou shalt not create dust, but normal farming operations are exempted from that, right? Clearly you'll do that. And they'll say, well, no, we don't want to do that. Which really goes to another issue of making sure that all of your lease agreements are actually there in writing in the document versus relying on some oral representations. That's just good legal practice all the time, right?
It's Agriculture Today.
For years, cotton growers have had a trusted partner when it comes to choosing their varieties. NextGen brand cottonseed from America. You can depend on NextGen varieties for performance and yields year after year. And for this year's season, there are several new Bolgard 3 Extend Flex varieties available. Oh, and one other thing. Americott is now offering cotton seed treatments to protect your seed investment against your early season challenges. To find out more, contact your local NextGen representative or seed dealer today. Americott. All we do is cotton. All the time.
What can you get for 2 cents these days? How about new, more efficient wheat varieties? Better market access for Texas wheat producers and increased demand to your product. Each year, the Texas Wheat Producers Board achieves these goals by investing producer contributions to promote wheat through research, education, and market development. Who knew 2 cents could be so valuable? A message from the Texas Wheat Producers Board.
This is Agriculture Today.
Since the passage of the 2018 Farm Bill, corn growers have faced volatility in the marketplace with periods of low prices and higher prices.
Chris Edgington, farmer from Iowa, president, National Corn Growers Association, testifying last week before the House Ag Committee.
Today's futures and cash prices appear strong. However, there are no assurances that commodity prices will continue to trend upwards or if they'll even stay where they're at. Rising input costs are a major concern, specifically fertilizer. Prices have soared to record levels, and several companies have unfortunately made a bad situation worse for growers by applying for tariffs to be applied to imports of phosphate and nitrogen fertilizers, respectively. NCGA and our state affiliates continue to focus on addressing high input costs, including direct requests of those companies to voluntarily withdraw their tariff petitions. Widespread drought and intense heat impacted much of the Corn Belt last year. And unfortunately, drought conditions have continued into 2022. In 2020, corn growers suffered major losses due to the devastating derecho that hit millions of highly productive crop ground. In 2019, crop production was heavily impacted with flooding and excess moisture throughout the Missouri River Basin. Federal crop insurance plays a significant role in the wake of natural disasters. Producers also appreciate your efforts to extend and improve disaster programs for 2020 and 2021 for uncovered risk and losses. NCGA has long advocated for market-oriented farm policies. Our focus continues on tools geared toward revenue, which factors in both yield and price risk that growers face. We support the continued ability for producers to choose between agricultural risk county, ARC individual, and price loss coverage or PLC programs. We appreciate the commodity program sign-up periods are now similarly tied to crop insurance decisions. NCGA supported the development of the ARC County and ARC individual programs. In the 2018 Farm Bill, we supported shifting the primary focus away from using NAS yield data to RMA to help minimize county-by-county payment differences. We also supported additional improvements to yield calculations and transparency to payment components. The PLC program has historically provided limited support for corn growers. Given the trend of increased corn yield year after year, though, the growers appreciated the opportunity to increase their yield, PLC yield, in 2020. And while use of the marketing assistant loans is small among our members, the program remains an accessible tool for corn growers without base acres. Implementation of the current Farm Bill has been fairly smooth, helped by the familiarity of the program, lengthy sign-up periods, and increased transparency of the program components. We commend the committee for the continued support of web-based decision tools that help facilitate grower education and evaluation of the commodity programs and options. While the COVID-19 has been difficult for face-to-face interaction with growers, we appreciate efforts at FSA to provide flexibility with producer sign-up. Opportunities exist to build upon those lessons and to further reduce the reporting burden on producers. NCGA and our state affiliates are gearing up to provide additional input and Farm Bill recommendations. NCGA has already commissioned and conducted a nationwide survey of growers on the usage and views of risk management tools and conservation programs. Next week, we will gather in New Orleans at the annual Commodity Classic, where growers will propose, debate, and vote on updates to our policies. We look forward to working with the committee as NCGA develops a more formal policy priority.
It's Agriculture Today.
When it comes to farming in dry conditions, the formula for success is simple. Put strong in, get strong out. That's why growers looking to improve yield potential while protecting their bottom line rely on dry, tough, dryland cotton varieties from Delta Pine. Bred, tested, and made tough to handle the toughest growing conditions. Stay strong this season. Plant dry, tough, dryland cotton varieties from Delta Pine. Always read and follow IRM where applicable, grain marketing and all other stewardship practices and pesticide label directions.
Every drop counts. Introducing the Patriot 50 Series Sprayer from Case IH that puts every drop of product exactly where you want it. Enhanced LED lights, a cab designed for all-day comfort, and more precise spraying technology. Because just like you, we know every drop counts. Visit your local Wiley implement for details on the new Patriot 50 Series Sprayer.
I'm Scott Wiley. We'll try hard to earn your business, but even harder to keep it. That's it. That's all.
Ag News Now. Agriculture Today.
And Chairman, I appreciate your line of questioning and responses.
Representative G.T. Thompson, the ranking member of the House Ag Committee from Pennsylvania.
It's not so much at this point what we can have record high commodity prices we're getting, but with inflation, you know, it's the margin that matters and something we need to take into consideration.
So last week, House Ag Committee holding a hearing to review the 2018 Farm Bill and start making preparations for a new bill. Georgia Representative Austin Scott.
Certainly our thoughts and prayers go out to President Zelensky and the Ukrainian people who are doing a tremendous job of fighting the Russians and the arcane person who's in charge of that country, Vladimir Putin. I think one of the things that the world is about to realize, unfortunately, is just how important the food supply is around the world. I think that over the next several weeks, we will probably see a tremendous number of human beings that will be starving because of the actions of one sick individual. As a ranking member of the General Farm Commodities and Risk Management Subcommittee, I'm particularly looking forward to taking a deep dive into the policies within Title I of the Farm Bill. I'm looking forward to working with Chairwoman DeBustos and the full committee leadership for the remainder of this Congress. I'm hopeful that the work we do this year will set up for success in delivering an on-time reauthorization in 2023. Many of us are fortunate enough to represent rural districts. We get the opportunity to interact with farmers back home, and yet even still the producers and the risks that they take each year are hard to fathom. It takes a special individual to be willing to borrow more money than the average American will borrow in their lifetime just to plant seed in the ground and hope to make a crop and pay it off. For them, farming isn't just an occupation. It's their heritage, their livelihood, and a way of life. Title I is meant to provide a base level of assistance when times are tough and prices fall so that farmers can survive to the next year. Yet as we look back over the past several years, I'm concerned with how much we've had to rely on assistance outside of the Farm Bill to help our farmers. Natural disasters, retaliatory tariffs, and the coronavirus pandemic are a few of the things that come to mind. These events, we weren't able to see them coming, but I hope we can have a conversation here today and going forward about what improvements we can make to the safety net to provide farmers more certainty in the face of these kinds of events. If you dig into the Census of Agriculture, there's a statistic that underscores the importance of getting these policies right. There are only 239,000 operations in this country that generate over $250,000 or more in sales. That's sales, Mr. Chairman, not income. In my district, it would probably take about 300 acres of cotton to hit that number. Those 239,000 farm operations, just 12% of those produce about 90% of all of our food supply. I want to say that again, 239,000 operations in this country, 12% of the farms generate 90% of the food supply for our country and what we export. Those are still, by and large, family farm operations that have had to expand to offset reducing margins. It underscores just how important a working farm safety net is. If things go south and some of those farm operations start to get out of the business of agriculture, we could see significant impacts on our food and fiber production. Today's hearing is a vital examination of where we stand today and the start of a conversation about where farm policy needs to be in the future.
It's Agriculture Today.
AquaYield regional agronomist Dr. Tracy Carrillo talks about using NanoPro to improve your burndown.
NanoPro is a nanoliquid technology that grabs the molecules of your burndown herbicides. It enhances the delivery of your herbicides, making them more efficient. You oftentimes see a 3-to-1 return on investment. This will stretch your chemical use up to 30%, which means you're saving more money, especially with the availability and volatility of chemicals these days.
Find out more at AquaYield.com.
Success is attained by those who approach problems with a plan and a purpose. As an advocate for High Plains cotton growers since 1956, Plains Cotton Growers has been tackling the tough issues facing cotton growers through beneficial legislative and regulatory changes. An important part of PCG's success is through close working relationships with congressional representatives and federal regulatory staff, allowing cotton growers more time to devote to farming operations. From the halls of Congress to the dusty turnroads of the High Plains, cotton producers depend on Plains cotton growers.
With Agriculture Today, here's Tony St. James.
When it comes to decommissioning, Illinois has tried to get out in front of some of that, and they passed what is called the Renewable Energy Facilities Agricultural Impact Mitigation Act.
Garrett Talgott is an Illinois Farm Bureau corporate law attorney on wind and solar leases.
It is intended, and it doesn't always work this way, unfortunately, but it is intended to establish some minimum restoration standards for ag land specifically that has been impacted by construction, deconstruction, and operations. And it is not intended to address every single issue that might be associated with wind or solar development, but it's intended to at least give some sort of minimum protections.
Though concrete in the ground probably not thought of as a mineral, it does bring up a good point.
This is something that initially, so I started doing these presentations for Illinois landowners back in 2016, when there was some initial interest that we were hearing about from solar developers, which I thought was totally bizarre, right? It's Illinois. This is not California. This is not Arizona. It's frequently cloudy here. I feel like it's been cloudy here for the last 90 days. So I thought, gosh, this could not be legitimate to build solar farms here in Illinois. And I was wrong. So previously, all of the lease agreements that I saw would have something in there about a warranty of title. You know, landowner warrants that they have fee simple title, for example. And that was something that I might put as some little bullet point. I wouldn't even usually talk about it, anything other than that. Just say, oh, yeah, you got a warranty, you have title of the property. Well, as these solar developments and wind developments have gone farther south in Illinois. Previously, it was all wind farms and they were all in central and northern Illinois. There was very little wind development. In fact, none in the southern part of the state. And as wind development creeped a little bit farther south on the map, and as solar development came and it started up north, and then also more quickly crept down south. In southern Illinois, there was a lot of mineral interests that were severed back in, who knows when, 100 years ago or something. And so I think it's important for any landowner that might be considering something like this to talk to their lawyer and to look at that warranty of title provision and say, okay, the solar developer wants me to warrant that I have a certain amount of title, a fee simple title or something like that. What title do I actually have? Do I have any mineral interests that were severed? And if I do, what does that mean? In Illinois, that's frequently going to mean that the owner of the mineral interest has basically an easement to use the surface, as much of the surface as they need to extract the minerals that they own below, which obviously, if we're talking about solar in particular, that could be a problem. If there was a property that was covered with solar farms 5 years later, the owner of the mineral interest comes and says, hey, listen, we need to use the surface of this so we can extract the minerals. You got to move these solar panels. Solar developer is going to say, we're not moving them. And there's going to be a fight between those two. And at the end of the day, all fingers are going to then point to the landowner because solar developer is going to say, well, hold on. Landowner told us that they owned this property in fee simple. There was no severed mineral interest. And mineral owner is going to say, well, I don't know. Landowner sold this to us. So we obviously have this easement there. And so all fingers are going to point to landowner, and landowner is going to be the one that is going to face some liability there. So, again, it's important to talk to your attorney to know what you actually own on this property and what you're telling any solar or wind developer that you actually own.
It's Agriculture Today.
This has been Scott, Scott Land Company in Dimmitt, Texas. Look at our website, scottlandcompany.com and texascrp.com, to view many properties we have currently listed in Texas, New Mexico, Oklahoma, and Colorado. Give us a call at 800-933-9698 to discuss these properties in detail. Give us a call at 800-933-9698.
Did you know that the world-famous Café Du Monde has always used cottonseed oil to fry their beignets? Cotton Board invested over $1.5 million into cottonseed research and marketing last year with Cotton Incorporated, including research on the health benefits of cottonseed oil compared to other oils. Our goal is to make cottonseed oil the preferred cooking oil in kitchens across the country, like a Café Du Monde in New Orleans. Forever Cotton. Visit cottonboard.org/forevercotton.
This is Agriculture Today.
U.S. cotton acreage is expected to increase this year due to higher prices.
Preparing for the next farm bill. That's Jacqueline Ford, a Georgia cotton producer, testifying before the House Ag Committee.
Although cotton prices are stronger than in recent years, higher input prices and supply chain disruptions have resulted in significant increases in production costs. Most producers are expecting a 25 to 40% increase in costs, largely due to higher fertilizer and pesticide prices. While demand for U.S. exports has been very strong in the 2021 marketing year, transportation and logistics issues continue to impact U.S. cotton shipments. An effective safety net for producers must consist of two key components. First, an effective commodity policy that provides either price or revenue protection for prolonged periods of low prices and depressed market conditions. Secondly, a strong and fully accessible suite of crop insurance products that producers can purchase and tailor to their risk management needs. The yearly election of either ARC or PLC in the 2018 Farm Bill has worked well for growers and should continue in future Farm Bills. In this Farm Bill, producers have overwhelmingly enrolled seed cotton base acres in the PLC program at over 90% annually. We know that ag markets are cyclical, and an effective safety net is imperative for the inevitable times of low prices. The non-recourse marketing loan program for upland cotton remains a cornerstone of farm policy for our industry during times of both low and high prices. It is necessary for multiple industry segments to effectively market cotton and provide cash flow for producers. In periods of low prices, if growers choose to forego the marketing loan, they may receive a loan deficiency payment representing the difference in the market price and the loan rate. This important component of the program should be retained. Our industry is opposed to any further tightening of payment limits and program eligibility requirements. We believe these policies are already too restrictive given the size and scale of production agriculture necessary to be competitive in today's global market. Artificially limiting benefits is a disincentive to economic efficiency and undermines the ability to compete with heavily subsidized foreign ag products. The 2018 Farm Bill continued the ELS program, cotton loan program, as well as a provision to ensure U.S. Pima cotton remains competitive in international markets. The balance between the upland and Pima programs is important to ensure that acreage is planted in response to market signals. The stability of the U.S. textile industry in recent years and their expected future growth can be attributed to the continued benefits of the economic adjustment assistance for textile mills. Considering the need to reshore or nearshore manufacturing of critical goods and materials, a strong and robust U.S. textile industry is key. This industry is vital to produce many products for our defense industry and personal protection equipment, as highlighted during the COVID pandemic. In recent years, Congress authorized several rounds of ad hoc disaster assistance. While we recognize the budgetary constraints, we believe the committee should review options to include either a permanent disaster program in the upcoming Farm Bill or seek policy options to increase insurance coverage levels that are cost-effective for producers. Since the passage of the 2018 Farm Bill, there have been several forms of ad hoc assistance provided outside of the Farm Bill. As Congress begins to plan the path forward for the next Farm Bill, I urge the committee to seek additional funding for this important legislation. In closing, I encourage the committee to write a Farm Bill that provides long-term stability for the future. There will be price declines from where we are today. There will be disasters that are larger than the essential assistance commodity programs and crop insurance provide. There will be trade disputes that wreak havoc on our export markets.
It's Agriculture Today.
On the phone with Joe Guzman, National Sales Manager with Equinom Smarter Sesame. Joe, planting season right around the corner.
Sure, Stephen. As the year begins drier than we expected, keep in mind that sesame is very drought hardy and has a low cost to raise. Our grain handlers are buying Equinom Smarter Sesame in the range of $22 to $24 a bushel, which competes well with other crops in our area. Also, sesame can be an insurable crop in most areas. It should be added to your policy by the 15th of March.
Joe, if somebody wants more information.
Sure, they can reach me at 1-833-SESAME. Or Equinom.com.
Are you an experienced service technician or diesel mechanic looking for a better opportunity? Consider John Deere. South Plains Implements offering a $10,000 signing bonus for qualified candidates. We pride ourselves in offering the best customer service and advanced training and growth opportunities for our employees. You'll be a part of a stable company with superior earning potential and state-of-the-art service jobs. Visit our careers page at SouthPlainsImplement.com or stop by one of our 14 John Deere locations to apply. South Plains Implement. Where farm meets family.
You're listening to Agriculture Today.
The Russian invasion of Ukraine is disrupting movement of wheat and corn and other ag products out of that country. Some analysts say this could possibly cause some serious food shortages in some places. This is also bringing up the question of whether the administration might allow on an emergency basis several million acres of conservation reserve land to be planted to wheat and corn. Zach Ducheneau runs the USDA's Farm Service Agency. He was asked by a reporter Thursday if the administration was considering opening up CRP land to crops this year. Ducheneau's answer.
We keep an eye on world events, and we do understand that there's a significant portion of the conservation reserve program that's aimed at reserve and production. However, at this time, no decisions have been made in that regard.
A decision would have to be made pretty soon. As to the timing of that decision, Ducheneau said there's not been any talk of it, at least in his agency. Gary Crawford, Washington.